really is a privilege to be here. I'd like to read from 1 Kings chapter 18.
Amen. Excellent.
Father, we thank you for your love, Father God. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. And we just pray as we look at your word together. You just come right now. And Father, you just bless this time. Obviously a really famous passage of scripture. I'm going to read from verse 16. It says, "So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, 'May
you need to get the hair.'
When he came to the Lord, he said to him, 'Is that you, the father of Israel? I have not made trouble for Israel,' Elijah replied, 'but you and your father's family have. You've abandoned the Lord's commandment and you followed the Lord. Now some of the people from all over Israel and meet me on Mount Carmel, and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table.' So Ahab went and sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah overflowed the people and said, 'How long will you wait between the two kingdoms? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him.' But the people said nothing. Then Elijah said to them, 'I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us, and let Baal's prophets choose for one of themselves. And let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. When all the people saw they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, He is God."
Amen.
The Lord, yes. He is God.
Yes.
And then Elijah commanded, "Seize the prophets of the Lord, don't let anyone get away." And they seized them, and Elijah could walk down to the Kishon Valley to those who were there. Elijah at this point. So Elijah at this point, he's had this showdown of faith. And he hears the direction of God. He knows what God is calling him to do. And regardless of whether it makes sense, he's willing to do it. And he's prepared to trust the Lord with his life. He's prepared to do something that in the face of it seems ridiculous. In the face of it seems impossible. In the face of it seems like something that I wouldn't do. And he witnesses, because of that faith, two great miracles. You know, this scripture, this chapter, the Bible has been a real foundation for being my faith. And, you know, Elijah faced adversity. You know, he was caught up between the apostle, and he trusted God. He didn't fix his eyes on circumstances. He didn't fix his eyes on what was impossible and what seemed impossible. But he fixed his eyes on God. And you know, because of that, he saw a miracle come to pass. And you know, that's the challenge that I have in my heart. That God says to me, you know, you have that faith.
Amen.
In continuing in verse 41, the people have seen God move. They've seen Elijah with two miracles. You know, he's handled the impossible. He's seen God move. And he prophesied. And he continues to say, there's been a famine in the land, there's been no rain, people are frustrated, the crops are dying. And he prophesied, and he said, there's a storm coming.
Yeah.
The rain is coming. And it says in verse 41, and Elijah said to Ahab, "Go, eat and drink, for there is a sound of heavy rain."
Mm-hmm.
So Ahab went off to eat and drink. But Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel, bent down to the ground, and hid his face between his knees. And he says in verse 43, "Go and look toward the sea," he told his servant. And he went and looked, and there was nothing there. And you know, for me, and I'm sure for many of us, this is the place that we get stuck.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen great miracles, we've seen great things happen, we've witnessed God do the impossible. But when it comes to our life personally, and we believe and we trust Him for the rain, we feel like we're sending our servant out, we're sending them out to look for the rain, we're sending them out to look for the miracle, we're looking for the next thing to happen in our lives. But He comes back and He says, "There's nothing there." And you know, what I want to say is, in the moment, and it feels like things are least likely to change, that's when God is most at work.
Come on.
That's when He's the most power. That's when Jesus can really come and move. And that's when, through my testimony, through what I've felt and experienced, that's when I've seen God do the greatest change.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to become despondent. And, you know, we live in a society, in a world where everything is on the run. Everything happens straight away, and it doesn't. We have like the quickest broadband speed, and Netflix on the line at work. You know, we want everything at an instant.
That's right.
And you know, this that expectation that powerful things can happen in the moments of waiting.
Yeah.
You know, one of our old pastors in the hotel. He was a great man. He was a funny little guy. He was about this high. He was Spanish, and he was in the Spanish Mountains. He was a really funny guy, and he was very passionate. And he had AIDS, and he was HIV positive, and realistically, his life wasn't looking great. And as he was working with the men in the hotel, he would be loading furniture down, and would be doing something, and these men would be, you know, they'd be gripped by depression, and in the face of things, it looked like nothing was changing. But he had this song that he liked to sing. And it went, "About this time tomorrow, things are about to change." And you know, he used to walk around and he used to get his clap and he'd walk around the circles and singing it. And you know, people, if anyone was swimming, they'd think it'd be crazy. But you know, there was such power. You know, there's such power in the worship, in the waiting. You know, there's such power that, you know, we, yes, things might not seem great now. Yeah, we might be sending our servant out, and we might be going out to look, finding no rain. But it's in that moment that we trust God, and we hold on, And I believe God will do the miraculous.
Amen.
The things can happen.
Excellent.
You know, Elijah in that verse, it says he went to Mount Carmel, he crouched down, and he put his head between his legs. And he knew it might not happen the first time. It might not happen the second time. It might not happen the third, fourth, fifth, sixth. But he had faith. And he knew that he'd seen God do miraculous and powerful things when he sacrificed. And he had that showing of faith. And he believed about this time tomorrow, any moment now, things are going to change. The verse 4 before it says, the seventh time the serpent reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand rising from the sea air. And Elijah knew at that moment, God is here. And even be it the size of a man's hand, he knew that. God does things the way God does things. And he said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot, and go down before the rain stops you. You know, there's not just going to be a shower, there's going to be an outpouring.
Amen.
And meanwhile, the sky blew through black with the clouds. The wind rose, and a heavy rain started. And you know, I appreciate it isn't easy, and I'm not standing here saying, you know what, we should be modern Christians, because it's tough. It's tough when you don't see things change. But for me, recently, I've really felt the challenge of God to really make the most of the moments between miracles. To really trust.
Amen.
And to really hold on.
Amen.
To the promises, and to remember the things that I've seen, and to remember the promises that we receive more and greater things in the
future. Amen. Faithfully.
And yet, there's been so many times where I can look back and I can think about times in my life where I've not been able to see the light at the end of the tunnel, and I felt frustrated with God, and I felt frustrated with myself. But he's always come through.
Yeah.
You know, he's always blessed and he's always delivered on his promises. And you know, as I was preparing this, I was thinking about Psalm 23. There's some real powerful words. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the straight paths in his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil. You are with me. Your rod and your staff will comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup is replaced. Surely your goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I love that song. I love that song because when I think about the times I've walked through the valley, when I think about the times that I've not been able to see the green pastures, we have that promise that Lord, his rod and his staff, they come for us, that we don't walk alone, that God is with us. You know, I think about the time I spent waiting to start a relationship with me. I was so frustrated. And I remember I sat down with my pastor at the time and said, I don't understand this. I said, I don't understand why you can't just tell me if she's interested. Because the frustrating thing is, I wasn't allowed to ask her if she was interested in starting a relationship with me, which seems crazy. So there's these two people, and they think they like each other, but they're not sure. And they can't talk to each other to find out if they like each other. I remember saying, his name was Ian, I said, Ian, I'm frustrated. I don't see change in my life. I don't see things happen. He said, my thoughts were un-Christian to what he said. He said, James, I'm not allowed to tell you if she likes you, but I'm not telling you what she doesn't like.
Amen.
I started looking more at the surface
circumstance than the God of the circumstance. And, you know, it's the faith of those around me that kept me going. And it's the little nudges and the kicks in the wrong direction that really pulled me in the right way. And, you know, I'm going to marry that woman again.
Amen.
And that isn't because of anything I did, but that was because of the miracle gift.
Amen.
And the miracle gift. And, you know, I just want to encourage us that things can be difficult in life. Things can be challenging. It can feel like nothing's happening. And it can feel like we're in that drought. And we keep going out, and we keep looking, and we're tired of climbing the hill to look for the rain. We're tired of looking for the cloud, and we keep coming back on the circuit, keeps coming back time and time and saying, "It's nothing there. There's nothing there." But my encouragement this morning is, keep going. Look for the cloud. Look for the small beginning of the miraculous thing that God has done for you. And you know, it's difficult to reach us. God is a good, good God.
Yes.
He will bring the rain.
Amen.
He will bring the rain. As a Father, we thank you.
Amen. Amen.
We thank you that you don't leave us, you don't forsake us, that you are our shepherd, that you do lead us by quiet reasons. And that you are our rod and our staff, and that you comfort us in times of need. And Father, we thank you that you're so, so good to us, Father, and that you give us the miracles. But Father, we also want to thank you that you give us the times of waiting, that you give us the gaps between the miracles. And though we may be frustrated, you're teaching us something.
Yeah.
Amen.
You're increasing our faith.
Yes.
That we can worship the Lord in those times of waiting. That we can trust that about this time tomorrow,
yeah,
things are about to change. And thank you, Jesus.